Hello and welcome to another Conversations with Community Managers, or as we are going to start calling it, Community Conversations. My name is Jim Storer, and we found that as we embark on these conversations, we're having great, great sessions with people other than community managers. So we are going to be changing up the name just slightly, and we're really excited to be here. My name is Jim Storer. I'm one of the founders of the Community Roundtable, and I am joined by my capable co-host, Shannon Abram. Shannon?
That's me. Hi, I'm Shannon Abram with the Community Roundtable, and we are excited to bring you another episode of Community Conversations. And we are joined today by Jeremy Meese. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Shannon and Jim. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We're really excited to have you here with us. I would love to kick things off. If you could introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about you, the kind of community you work with, where you work, what they do.
Okay. I will try to keep that under 30 minutes. So yes, as was mentioned, my name is Jeremy Meese. I'm currently the Director of Developer Relations and Community at Circle CI, which is DevOps Tools. Platform for continuous integration and continuous deployment. I formerly have been at companies like Solace and Auth0, worked with a variety of communities in multiple spaces, including XDA developers, which was a very large multi-million user developer community around mobile devices. And so it's been pretty diverse in my my community and developer relations space. I am active in the developer relations community as well as the DevRel DevOps community as well. And then I'm a co-creator of DevOpsPartyGames.com with my good friend Matt Stratton. If you haven't seen that, it's a great hour of shenanigans playing online games. I love coffee, community, open source, tech, and as my wife likes to say, I'm also housebroken and generally play well with others. So that's a short rundown of myself. And our current community at Circle CI is very much a developer community. We have developers across the world that are using our platform and getting involved, asking questions. We tend to vacillate between your typical support community and a relational community, which is a great balance, and love being a part of that and helping support my team.
It's great to talk with another husband who's housebroken. I've never never been told that, but I think my wife's going to love that. So, so tell us more about your community. It looks like it's been around for a long time, and tell us a little bit about the technology you use to power it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Circle CI started 10 years ago, and it started as a very developer-centric platform and tool set. And so the community kind of came up out of that, very much born out of the desire to build what developers wanted and what they needed to do their job and make their job easier. And so the community kind of came out of that. We've had a discourse community forum for just about as long as the company's been around, which also reflects very much the kind of core developer-centric, conversation-centric focus around, what we're doing. And we've had engineers throughout the company get involved in answering questions that developers might have. And it's been a great outlet. That just discourse itself, which we call discuss, which gets really confusing when you start talking about discuss and discourse and Discord and, all of that. But it's been a great platform for us to really kind of share what we're doing, hear what developers are doing. And, while we have a paid support platform, we find a lot of developers still engage in discourse because they're able to kind of share what they're doing and see what others are doing as well. We also use community platform perspective, we're starting to use Discord a little bit. We use it for some of the online meetups we do. And so that's that is one I was very slow to bring that into the community because it's hard to keep those things going, especially if, you know, just starting one up. But the pandemic kind of made it a little bit easier to jump into that that pool. And so we do have a Discord, which we're starting to use a little bit, like I said. And then we also utilize a platform called Orbit. And for those that, you know, kind of just hearing about it, it's comes out of the Orbit model that I think the website's orbit.love, but the Orbit model was kind of put together with the core center of developers and developer communities and understanding that the typical marketing funnel, sales funnel, whatever you want to call it, doesn't often fit into what a developer community is and how it works. And so they kind of put together the model to reflect, you know, you have people that love your product. You have people that are in different orbits around your product. They're just learning about it and they're starting to get engaged and how you understand how they move through it. So it's an interesting model. And so we use Orbit as our kind of single pane of glass into everything that happens inside of our community, connecting, you know, the Twitter and connecting discourse and, you know, anything we might do kind of custom activities, that kind of thing.
So it sounds like you're in a competitive space since you embraced community so early on, which is just not the case for all organizations. Community's become a real differentiator for you. I mean, you talked about it a little bit, but just hearing more about how, as an organization and personally, you use community to support developer relations, I would just love to hear about that philosophy.
Yeah, so it's, you know, the core of developer relations is it's building relationships with developers. That's, I mean, that really is just the core of it. And I think that's very much a piece of a solid community is one that you've built, you know, as a community manager. You're building relationships with the people inside your community, whatever that community might be. You know, there's multiple different types of communities, but you know, really you're building those relationships. And as a community manager, that's extremely important. You know, what we've been able to do is building those relationships and understanding, you know, who's in our community and, you know, using that to, you know, do put together content, to put together, you know, looking at the events that we go sponsor and the meetups that we go to and even some of the meetups that we, you know, do ourselves at different events in different areas. That's really kind of helped us kind of shape our direction is really understanding, first and foremost, we're about building relationships with the people in our community. And I might actually even add to that is that if it also becomes the window or the measuring stick, I guess is a better way of saying it, to anything we do, is if this idea that we have for community, if it's not something that's going to help us build a better relationship with the people in the community, then it's probably not something that we're going to go after. It's probably something we're going to, you know, put on the back burner and see if it, you know, can continue to be shaped and continue to be molded into something that helps serve the community itself. So
it's interesting. And it looks like you used Orbit not just to connect with your developer audience, but also to identify areas that you weren't already taking advantage of. So it became, and I imagine as you were talking earlier about how Orbit gives you kind of a window into activities across multiple community platforms and Twitter and that sort of thing. Can you share how that evolved, how that happened? Because that, I think from a case study standpoint, that's pretty compelling.
Yeah. And that was the thing that really stood out to us is, you know, I've been in community management and in developer relations for quite a few years now. And the thing that always you tend to use, even if you have a tool, you tend to throw things into Excel or into Google Sheets, start trying to crunch some numbers and look and see what's what. And you might have stuff from Discourse and you have something from, you know, data from Twitter, and then you have data from, you know, these, you know, whatever other thing it is that you use it with your community, whether it be meetup.com or any of those things that you can gather data out of. And you throw that into kind of a manual process to try and gather, see what kind of stands out. And it's so time consuming. And we tend to have an idea of what our community looks like and kind of idea of what our community does. And we miss kind of that single pane of glass that's commonly referred to when you think about dashboards for tools or dashboards for, how your systems are performing. And so when the Orbit model and the Orbit app kind of started to come out and we were an early adopter to kind of check it out, the opportunity to connect our discourse, connect our Twitter, connect our GitHub, just immediately together so that they started seeing what were the activities that were being performed in the community and who was in the community and, what were the different trends and how was it growing? How was it not? Putting that in and then immediately seeing in that single pane of glass view of here's our community. It was striking to see, like, we didn't think at the time that we had a lot of activity happening in GitHub. We're not an open source company, but we are a company that serves open source because we connect directly with, source control. We have a lot to offer, open source and those that operate in that kind of source control visual space or version control space. And so, adding GitHub in all of a sudden reformed what our thoughts were. We thought that discourse was our biggest source of activity and occasionally Twitter, when somebody wanted to say some things, and that GitHub just really wasn't much. But as soon as we threw it in there, we saw that it was one of our, it was our largest activity center of things happening with people in the community and was our largest opportunity for growth because those that were active in our GitHub that, contributing to some of the open source tools we had and some of the, things that we were doing in GitHub and even our docs, being able to see people that were contributing to our docs that weren't employees, all of that started to rise to the top and made us realize that there was an area we had not even planned for. We kind of neglected, but it was kind of our second or third option for, building a stronger community. All of a sudden it became apparent that, wow, here's an area that we didn't know. And we would not have seen that without, a tool like Orbit that could give us that immediate view. Like we threw it in there and within a day as the graph started to get created, all historical data, we could go back and look and go, oh my goodness, what is this? Wow. We didn't know that we had, all these pull requests that were getting put in and all of these issues and all these comments that people were engaging. So that was the one thing that really stood out with us and that, helped us understand better ways and shaped kind of how we do community and how we do, developer relations.
It sounds like you had a little bit of an aha moment. I love it when executives in an organization have an aha moment when you discover something like that. Do you have any stories to tell about, others within the organization kind of having having an aha moment?
It definitely is. We kind of surfaced that across the different, we exist in marketing, but as we kind of surface some of that data across the different areas into customer success and into even engineering, it became very clear that, wow, we didn't know. We didn't know that this was such a big part of our community. And this is something we should focus on. And it helped in some ways to help our documentation get better, but also helped with kind of our engagement and understanding that when we're doing some certain things that we need to make sure that any community member that are interacting with us, we need to, they care. And it helped to kind of shift a little bit of, kind of focus or awareness of what was actually happening. That was definitely across organizations. Like you said, it was not just, me and my team and, my manager.
It's fascinating to kind of see how kind of the enthusiasm spreads around an organization when you are able to surface some of these insights. So you talked a little bit about the bane of most community managers' existence, which is calculating metrics and ROI and things like that in spreadsheets. And so can you talk a little bit about how using the Orbit API has helped you get out of spreadsheets and made surfacing some of these ideas all that much stronger and easier?
Yeah, absolutely. The Orbit as a tool, so the web version of it gives us a great view into the data and allows for us to, you know, see these things. We can export the graphs. We can, you know, do that. But sometimes it's good to take and take that number, and we have to put things into, you know, every company has a dashboard of sorts that they have to put certain numbers into. A lot of members of the marketing team here and other teams I know within the company would go and look at certain graphs, and then they take the number and they go and put it into the tool that was being used, which is usually a PowerPoint slide, so that they can, you know, the executives are able to see, here's the data, or it goes into another Excel spreadsheet that rolls up all the other metrics across the company. And so the ability within, you know, not just having the Orbit visual, you know, the Orbit app on the webpage that we were able to see, but also being able to take that same data and using the API, put that, the number, you know, for us, like, you know, looking at our active members, how are they, how's it growing? What's our projections, our targets? And instead of having to do all of that manual piece to put it into our metric system where we track it all, was able to utilize the API to just pull that number, and I never have to touch it. I put it in, I say, this is where it needs to go, and boom. And so that helps and streamlines a lot of the metrics reporting, you know, things like active members, the returning members, you know, how many are coming back from previous quarters, previous time spans, you know, and being able to see, you know, the different things like pull requests and all that could be grabbed from the API, as opposed to, you know, having to do a lot of manual work. Even with having the single pane of glass, not everybody's able to see that. And so having to still do some manual piece is pretty normal. We were able to utilize the API to just pop that in.
As a marketer, that's one heck of a testimonial. Like, I make a lot of Ronco jokes, which maybe ages me, but I like to things that you can like set it and forget it. Like, I love that. And so I'm like, oh, maybe we should look at Orbit. That's very, very compelling to me as a marketer. So
yeah, and it's great. And it gives, you know, there's opportunities, and we've shared this with other teams within marketing. We have a couple of people within, you know, customer success that are also, you know, they have some view into it. And what they're able to see as well is like who's in our community, and whatever data we have, and it's all public data. It's not like it's, you know, any private. It's if they're in GitHub, it has their information of how many pull requests, you know, that kind of stuff. Whatever you put on your Twitter profile, you know, we're able to see, you know, hey, this person says they work at CircleCI, or they work at Microsoft, or they work at wherever. But it helps us to be able to drill down and understand who, you know, who's in our community from things like who in GitHub says that they use, that they code in JavaScript. What about TypeScript? What about they're in this, they say that they're in Japan, or they say they're in, you know, England, or in Kansas City, where I'm at. You know, being able to segment and start to gather a list of people in the community that you could reach out to and say, hey, would love to have you. We're going to do this meetup. We'd love to, you know, we see that you've been a member of our community for a while. We'd love to have you talk, or we'd love to have you join, or, you know, how could we help support you? You can kind of get a better view of what your, you know, how your community is kind of set up across the world. But it also let us, when we're at conferences, and especially now as we're starting to get out a little bit more into conferences, those connections and those conversations we have, we're able to track that right back to a specific user in the community and we're able to tag them. We're able to add an activity of, hey, we talked to them at a conference. So we can go back and we can view all of that and, you know, say, hey, we talked to 15 people at this workshop, or, you know, 25 people visited, you know, our workshop here. And, you know, or I had this one conversation with this person, that we're able to take that data and get that back to product, where it's actually a person of name and an actual physical being attached to that feedback, as opposed to some anomalous, like, hey, so, in, you know, we talk to people at such and such conference and they don't like what we're doing here with the product. It's literally this person at this company. So it allows for some more personalized results, and helps us, you know, to kind of gather that info and using, it comes back to kind of the API piece here, is that we're able to create our own custom integrations where the system doesn't have it. So that as we, you know, do our, you know, the things that we do in the, in our company and within our community, we're able to pull that in and capture more and more activities that we, you know, maybe you don't think about. And then we're also, like, it's very important. And I know community managers across the space typically come into that or come face to face with the old question of, well, what is it you do here? Or what's the ROI of us having a community team? Why do we have a community team? Like that dreaded question that tends to come once a community team has been around for a little while. What we've been able to do with this is kind of get ahead of that by constantly showing the value that our community provides to the company. And we're able to bring that into, because it's a, you know, and the API allows us to query info and pull it into like Salesforce, so that we can look at it and say, hey, this member's in the community, the developer relations team has had contact with them. And it's showing that we, you know, there's some value already coming back to the company and not having to wait for that dreaded, well, what is it you do here conversation.
That in and of itself is amazing. Just see, we talk all the time about, you know, you have to show your work, or,
yep,
you know, it's just like, you don't, it, like, you are your biggest advocate. And if you then have numbers that back that up and say, like, yes, the community is beneficial financially to us, and here's how, I mean, that's what gets people to sort of sit up and pay attention, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been helpful.
We are like a little like behind the scenes. It is December. We're recording this in December. So there is a new year coming up, knock on wood. It's going to be a good one. And I'd just love to hear if you have anything, you know, interesting or exciting planned for 2022. What's next for the community?
Yeah, we're actually building out our champions program, identifying who are the, you know, the people in the community that most love us, are most involved, most interested in, you know, helping us, helping us grow and helping, you know, share the information of what we're doing as a company. And, you know, for instance, Orbit is really helping us with that, because again, we're able to identify who really is extremely active across all of the different platforms and such. And so that's one thing we're going to be building out this year. We're also in the process of, you know, I joined Circle CI February of 2020, the end of February, 2 weeks before the world went, you know, bonkers. And so, you know, we're now just over the last few months starting to get back, you know, in person. And so we're going to be building out some meetup opportunities, meetup sponsorships, and in ways we can help support the community in person, which is a completely, and you all know, it's a completely different dynamic in person than it is online and virtual. And so we're starting to plan for those things, and helping to kind of share the things that are happening within the company. So that's the biggest thing for us this next year.
You know, we'll have to do a follow-up podcast halfway through the year to see how that champions program is coming together.
That'd be great.
We've got a lot of clients that that take on that initiative, and it's not always, you know, just a very linear process. It can take a lot of different twists and turns. So it'd be fun to hear how it's going.
Yeah, it's all about adding value. You know, it's if you're building out a community, a champions program or a advocate program or ambassador, whatever that you want to call it, you know, it's got to be something that's going to offer them value, and that they're, you know, that they might take out some part of their time to go and do something, or to get in more involved. It's gotta have some value for them. So, it's definitely a journey for sure.
So we like to wrap these up with a kind of a lightning round, and it's meant to be kind of light and fun. And so I'm going to kick it off with a quick question, and, you know, it's really just, you know, what comes to mind. Are you cat or dog?
Dog.
Your team dog. We're both team dogs, so that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the right answer. Not that there are
cats. Yeah, well, I mean, cats don't have teams.
Yes, that's true.
They're solo practitioners.
That's an excellent point. It's an excellent point. One of my favorite sort of ongoing memes during this work from home era has been how, like, it's the best thing that ever happened to dogs. They're like, oh my God, this is the best, you're here. And cats are like, why won't you go back to your office? Get out of
that's
my
right.
House. Yeah. Next question. What is your favorite thing to drink?
Guinness. And if it's not, if I don't have a Guinness, then it's a cup of coffee. I used to own a coffee shop, so I'm a coffee snob.
How fun! There's been a lot of talk in our company community, our like internal Slack channel about we do Secret Santa, and one woman on our team just received what sounds like a very fancy coffee grinder. It's like above my understanding of what you can do with coffee, and she's like rapturous about it. It's very exciting.
I like to say the best thing that happened to us this year was our coffee machine broke. And so we have an espresso machine that we would use occasionally, but we've made it our solo machine now. We just decided never to go back to a drip coffee maker, and it's been incredible.
Well done. Well done.
Okay. I'm sure you've got a bunch of these, but since you joined the company just before the pandemic started, but what is your favorite work from home hack?
Get up and walk around. Force yourself to get up and walk around. My office is in the basement, which means I have no, which thinking back, that might have been planned by my wife, but the rest of my family. But I have no windows in my office. And so I force myself like routinely to get up, walk up the stairs and, you know, get a glass of water or just kind of walk around a little bit, kind of stretch the legs and then go back to work. Otherwise, when I don't, and when I wasn't forcing myself to do that, and I've worked from home for 10 years, but I was also doing a lot of traveling over the last 2 years, that hasn't been as much. And so forcing myself to get up, I realized, you know, I wasn't sticking myself down in my dungeon, and forgetting that, oh, I should go eat or I should go drink water. So kind of just get up and move around.
Good call.
It's a great one. So what are you, and this could, you can interpret this however you want. What are you binging right now?
So two things. I just actually just finished binging Cowboy Bebop, the new live action. And so I'm waiting, you know, so I'll binge all the new stuff that comes out. Like, so the Hawkeye series, I'm binging, waiting on that. And then I've also been the Netflix series, The Ranch, with Sam Elliott and Ashton Kutcher. I started watching it just a little bit and then just got stuck. It's surprisingly a very good, I think, series. It's like there's like eight parts of it, so like kind of eight quote unquote seasons, even though they don't really do it that way. But it's really, I think it's really good, and so I'm stuck binging. I'm about 3/4 of the way through. So
Well, that's a great recommendation. I'll watch Sam Elliott's mustache do almost anything.
Yeah, it's glorious in this show. And of course, I binge Ted Lasso. I've seen both seasons. Like the first season, I think I watched it 8 times. The second season, I've seen it twice. So I'm due for another binge.
It is what we needed during this pandemic. It was the right place at the right time.
Yep.
All right.
What about you all? I'd love to hear what your, I know we're probably getting close on time, but what are your binging? What are your answers to those lightning rounds?
It's so nice. No one ever asks us. We're both team dog.
Good. Yes.
I would say Americano, as I kind of talked about. My work from home hack is actually very close to yours. I typically have a glass of water on my desk when I'm working. And I have a rule that when it gets to half full, I drink it straight away all the way down and then get up and get a new glass. So
that's good.
I just don't allow myself to have half a glass of water. What's the last one? What am I binging? Ted Lasso has happened. So, I mean, I'm like you. My wife and I started watching it this summer and went through the first season like no one's business. And then one of my daughters said she wanted to watch it. So I watched it with her. And then my other daughter said she'd love to watch it. So I watched it. So I've watched it 3 or 4 times now. Right now, I'm actually just started the Beatles documentary and it's fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, really interesting. And it's relatively long. So each episode is 2 or 3 hours. So it's hard to get through that much content, but it's fascinating. I think Peter Jackson did an amazing job putting it together.
Oh, it's Peter Jackson. Okay.
It is Peter Jackson. He just happens to be a huge Beatles fan. And so when they approached him, he couldn't say no. And then he got his hands on 60 hours of video and 150 hours of audio that had not been seen or released. And he cut down to 18 hours, a rough cut. And then from there, he was able to kind of get it down to 6 or 8 hours. And he went back to, I think it was Paul and Ringo and said, it would be a travesty for me to cut anymore. And they agreed. So that's what it was published as.
That's awesome.
They were trying to do a feature length movie. And he said, I can't get it down to 2.5 hours.
So weird from the guy that made all those long movies.
That's right. But I can give you 15 episodes of 2.5 hours.
Right.
So I'm team dog. I drink a lot of tea during the day. I really like different kinds of tea, all the different kinds of tea. And at night, I just want a glass of red wine, and that's what I want. My work from home hack is that I have a dog who's insane. And so she requires, like, she likes to look out the window. And if there's a squirrel, like, we're going to go in the yard. And she's a little insane. So she keeps me up and moving. But it's also just, I mean, I would recommend a dog to everyone. I think they're wonderful people. And we are binging the last season. I think it just ended, but we haven't finished, of The Great British Bake Off. And unpopular opinion, I don't know if you guys have seen it. I really don't like the hosts of the show right now. Like, I really don't like them. Although I love Noel Fielding, like, in a vacuum, sort of. But the other guy, right. I just can't stand him. And I can't stand him. And it's making it very difficult for us to watch it because he's the worst. And that's
he was on some episodes of Doctor Who, the last couple, the last Doctor. I'll take Noel Fielding
all day,
anywhere,
every day.
Yeah. All day. And it doesn't matter who paired up with. Yeah. I love Noel Fielding. The other host, it's in a vacuum for me. It's like small little bits, I'm okay.
So what's so interesting is if you watch the show, you probably know, they bubbled to do this. And like, it's interesting because it's so evident. They put them together for like 6 or 8 weeks and they couldn't leave the hotel and all this.
Right.
And so on one hand, it's interesting because they do know each other better. Like, you can just tell that, like, Mm-hmm. Everyone sort of knows each other better because they essentially lived together for 6 weeks. But on the other hand, it's like, I don't get your inside jokes and I would like you to stop making them.
Just right.
Give some more biscuits. I want to see some biscuits.
Give me biscuits.
Give me the biscuits. It is. It's just so soothing. And our almost 7-year-old son also loves it. He just loves, he calls it the baking show and he wants to watch it with us. And it's just so sweet where he's like, oh, that can't be what they wanted that to look like. And we're like, no, buddy, I don't think it is what they wanted it to look like.
That's great.
Well, I appreciate you asking the questions to us. And it sounds like you're super busy, so I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. Thank you so much
for talking with us today. Absolutely. Thank you.
And I hope you enjoy.
Good luck with that Champions program, too.
But thank you. Appreciate it.
And I hope the end of your year goes well and that the new year kicks off. I'm going to say with a bang, but like in the nicest possible way. So
that's right. Same to you all.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Community Conversations with the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.